For WKU Public Radio, I'm Kevin Willis. It's official, Timothy Caboni has been named the next president of Western Kentucky University. The 47-year-old New Orleans native will take over the position July 1st when Gary Ransdell steps down after 20 years at the school. Caboni comes to WKU from the University of Kansas, where he's vice chancellor for public affairs. He was formally introduced Friday afternoon as the school's next president. Afterwards, he sat down with WKU Public Radio to talk about his hopes, challenges, and lessons learned while bartending in Bowling Green as a WKU graduate student. But first, we asked about his top priority when he takes over this summer.
I think it's really clear for us. We must grow the number of first-year students that we recruit. And those first-year students that we recruit must graduate in 4 years. Right now, we're losing about a quarter of our first-year students, and that's not acceptable. I've said that to faculty, staff, students, and anybody else who'll listen. We're going to do better, and we're going to do better starting next year. It's going to take the entire community creating a culture of completion. And the expectation is that we don't just recruit students, we recruit future graduates. And I'm going to bring that to the conversation. I'm going to bring it loud, I'm going to bring it strong, and I'm going to bring it every single day.
Have you gotten some pushback on that? Is it really realistic to think you're going to retain everybody and then get them graduated in 4 years?
We know that not every student may graduate, but we can't take the chance at thinking that any one of those young people that we admit isn't going to graduate. So in the world of fundraising, I'll use this as the example. You never know which of your graduates is going to become incredibly successful as an entrepreneur. So what we do is we maintain a relationship with every single one of them with the understanding that that relationship is important. What I want to make sure we do is that every single person we admit, we know that they have the chance to graduate. If they do the things that they need to do and we do the things that we need to do as an institution, that they'll finish. I don't want anyone taking a look at any of our students and saying, nah, I'm going to give up on that person. And there may be a critique saying, 100% graduation rate, that's not doable. That's not what I was talking about. I'm talking about for every student that we admit, we need to give every single one of them our best effort to get them across the finish line.
You were asked in one of the forums by somebody who characterized the situation as higher education being at war with the state and the federal government, and you said that you wanted to rephrase the question as not being at war, but I believe what you said was, we in higher education are renegotiating our position with the state and federal government. What did you mean by that?
So if you think about the conversation that's being held nationally about what's the role of universities in our nation, universities for many years have been perceived as benefiting the public or the common good. And because that was their prime mission or prime focus, state support came pretty freely. What we know is that the shifting conversation nationally is that shouldn't individuals who benefit from attending a university personally, who have higher incomes, better health, better job opportunities, shouldn't they also share in the burden and the cost of attending a public institution? That's a policy decision that's been made. And so what we need to do is know that that's the environment in which we're working, and not pretend that the previous 40 years of higher education policy and higher education funding is going to continue for the next 40 years. We live in a different world. We have to be honest with ourselves about it. And that means we have to be more innovative as institutions, and we're absolutely going to do that. We're going to find ways to be creative, to identify additional funding sources, to make better use of the scarce dollars that we have, to make sure that we're efficient, and we're working every day to get even more efficient.
You come to WKU at a time when WKU and other higher education institutions have agreed to enter into an idea that at least part of funding would be based on certain metrics such as graduation rates, degree productivity, et cetera. How do you feel about that? Are you comfortable with WKU moving forward with that?
36 states across the nation have some sort of performance-based funding. So Kentucky is actually a little bit late to that game. That's number one. Number two, It makes perfectly good sense to me that institutions should be funded for being successful at what they're there to do. And if what we're supposed to do is graduate students with degrees so they're helpful to growing our economy, contributing to our workforce, making sure our commonwealth, the state, our region are stronger and more economically viable, then our funding should flow from those successes. And so I'm comfortable with that. We have to have internal conversations around how we make sure we organize ourselves to be successful in what is a different policy and funding landscape. But I have absolutely no qualms about moving in that direction. Lots of places had. Tennessee is 100% performance funding based. And it does a couple of things, I think. Number one, it keeps focused the universities on the things that are important. What gets measured gets done. And the other thing it does, it really creates internal opportunities for conversation around prioritization, goal setting, and then achievement.
Based on what you've seen this week, people you've spoken to on campus, how would you assess the overall morale of faculty, staff, and students based on your conversations?
So I've seen the faculty life survey and have obviously had conversations about the institution and how faculty seem desirous. They want a stronger and more open conversation on campus. And in all of my conversations through the search process with faculty, with staff, with students, I've said a hallmark of who I am is that everything that I do is based on relationships. And I've promised and am committed to being transparent and open and collaborative as we move forward as an institution. And part of that's going to be a strategic planning process that's not just for me. My vision doesn't mean anything if it's just mine. It has to be a shared vision, and that means it has to emerge from our faculty, our staff, our entire community as we move forward as a university. And so I'm committed to being a good partner with the entire campus community and the entire Bowling Green community and anybody else has a stake in this institution to make it better, to help us achieve, and to create success.
You'll inherit this job from Gary Ransdell, who will have been here 20 years when he steps down this summer. I know you've had time with him this week and his wife. What is one thing you've learned from him, or maybe one lesson or something he's told you that really sticks out in your mind as being especially helpful?
So first, what a daunting task to follow in the footsteps of one of the most successful presidents in higher education. He and Julie have done a remarkable job here for 20 years, being committed to and serving this city, the state, and this institution in a way that is more than admirable. It's almost impossible these days. And so that's daunting. At the same time, he said to me, is make sure you have a good time and have a little bit of fun. So I've always believed that you leave an institution better than it was when you found it. You work hard every single day. I don't expect anybody to work any harder than I will. But if I'm not having a good time while I'm working that hard, then something's wrong. And so we're going to create great achievements. We're going to bust butt when we do it, while we do it. We're going to have some fun, and then we're going to celebrate our successes. And so I think that that's the tone and the tenor of the conversations he and I have had. And you better well believe that I'm going to be picking up the phone to make sure that I've got a great advisor there when needed as we go through some decisions here on campus.
Sources have told me that you helped pay for your graduate school at WKU by bartending at Andrew's, a restaurant on Scottsville Road here in Bowling Green. First of all, is that true? And second of all, if it is true, did you learn anything from that experience that helps you be as WKU's next president?
I did. Dave and Karen Towle, who own Andrew's restaurant, were remarkable to me. It was a great way to, number one, support myself going through graduate school, but it was also a wonderful, welcoming environment here in town. And so that really served as my surrogate family while I was here, the entire community at Andrews. What I learned as a bartender is, it took me 4 years working as a professional to get back to making as much money as I made as a bartender at Andrews. So it was a very lucrative job for a graduate student. I liked that very much, and it helped me have a decent life here in town. The other thing is that you eat what you kill, essentially, meaning I was responsible for providing great service. And if I did that and I made sure that every customer that I worked for, that I served, if they had an experience that was positive for them, there was going to be a return to me. And so in many ways, that's very similar to the work that we do. If we work hard, if we make sure that our clients, our students, our alumni, our donors, our constituents, get the service that they need, that they want, and we overperform, there are going to be great rewards for this institution.
Dr. Caboni, congratulations on being named WKU's next president, and thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks so much. It's good to be with you.